Welcome to the Late Breaks Hot Takes American F1 podcast, bringing you post-race analysis, predictions, sports betting, and often outrageous hot takes. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at F1 Hot Takes Pod. Now, on to the show.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. There was no race last week, but big news coming out of American media podcast world is one of our hosts finally has a microphone.
We need to kind of temper this a little bit because I've had the microphone for a while. Okay.
How long have you had the microphone for us? That's the real question.
How long have we been doing this?
18 weeks.
Yeah. No, not 18 weeks. Come on.
This is episode number 18.
We are on number 18.
That doesn't make any sense. Well, there's only been 11 races.
Yeah, okay. There's been weeks in between the races, you dumb fuck.
Oh, yeah, good point. So if we've been doing this for 18 weeks, I've probably had the microphone for 14 weeks. Just no computer that it would work on. So we rectified the situation. I got the emergency package from North Carolina.
Yeah, you bought a new computer, right?
I did not buy a new computer. I stole a computer from my brother from home. Which
and how
he no
old
longer
is
this used.
Computer?
Apple tells me mid-2012.
Hey, but it works.
It works, damn it.
It works, and your voice is deeper, and that's a quality
it's
microphone.
Very
so,
deep, dude. You sound like a legit radio announcer right now. Like, I'm proud of you.
Thanks, guys. That's all I've ever wanted.
Well, I don't know if we ever placed a bet. We should have placed a bet at the beginning of the season on how long it was, how many races or how many weeks it was going to take Riss to get off of using a... what was that? Was it a headset? Was it like earphones?
Oh, he was using the computer.
The computer audio,
just the
man.
Computer audio, yeah. So, thank you.
Shout out to Dell because that, I mean, there's worse computer audios out there.
Dude, you're getting a Dell, man. Like,
so the whole thing is I got to work on my setup here because with the computer, I could kind of do whatever I wanted, but now I have this mic here and I'm kind of constrained. I got to figure out the ideal setup to where I don't throw my back out.
Throw your back out?
Well, because it's on a little stand here. So what am
yeah,
because
you're sitting on the couch. Why don't you sit in like a proper chair?
Well, if I had a proper chair, maybe I would sit in one.
You don't own a proper chair.
No, I do not.
You own a condo. And you don't have a chair.
We need to paint a picture for our viewers of Riss' living situation, which is you walk into a condo and there's a couch, a TV, and a coffee table, and maybe a dog bed
and a puppy,
a crate, yeah, dog a crate, yep,
and that's it. So it's either like the ultimate bachelor pad, like straight out of like Joey from Friends, or it's like a crack house. It's somewhere in the middle of that, I'm guessing.
Oh, it's a little bit nicer than a crack house. Come on.
I'll vouch for it. I've been to his place. It's nicer than a crack house. Not by much, but but it is.
To be fair, Zeno was here for less than 4 hours.
No. At least six.
I don't think so, man.
I think
we got here at 1 and left for the airport at 5.
Really? I was so fucking tired. I don't remember. That was brutal.
It's a story for summer break.
Yeah.
Story for summer break. But regardless, it's a big time audio upgrade, and we're doing it for you, our fans and our listeners. Enough of that. All right. So, French Grand Prix coming
Speaking
up.
Speaking of
weekend.
Which, before we move into some real topic, go to the website and click an ad, please, because this mic wasn't free. All right.
Yeah. So that's a great point. If you click on our ads, and enough of you out there caring people click on our ads, we will buy Risk an IKEA chair by the end of the season for his living room. Maybe.
That's a lot of clicks.
It's a lot of clicks. But y'all, we'll get there. onto the news. Which there's not a lot of coming out of last week. It's been a super quiet news week leading up to France. But we have a French Grand Prix weekend coming up. And so I guess, do we want to start there and talk about that? Or do we want to talk about, there's a little bit to talk about with McLaren and just some of the driver's craziness. not craziness, drama going on in their program. And this extends far beyond just the traditional Daniel Ricciardo. Is he going to be there? Is he not going to be there? That sort of thing.
Let's start with the French Grand Prix, and then I'm sure we'll get into it from there.
Sure. So the French Grand Prix last year. So it seems like everybody hates this track from a fan's spectator standpoint. I don't know why.
It hurts my eyes.
Some of the original races there weren't super exciting. It definitely hurts. This is one of those races F1's got to put like a seizure warning before the broadcast, because it's brutal on the eyes. I'm sure it looks cool as shit in person.
Helpful.
Yeah, no, I don't see it being any better in person as it is on TV.
Okay. Well,
here's my thing. Number one is France. Like, let's be honest, nobody likes France except for the French, right?
Sure.
Number two, it's just
and American girls.
Well, we got to bring that up. Okay, I thought this was gonna be a nice, happy podcast.
All right.
But anyway,
you happy? Never.
Yeah, that's a good point. But number two, the fucking track is terrible. Like, even the mobile game, I hate it when it's the French track. Like, I want to skip it. Oh,
that's funny.
It's not fun to drive. It looks like shit. I think even the drivers don't like to drive on it. It's just, and then you got to deal with the French fans and all the French people and the French food. It's like, ugh.
Go ahead, Riss.
No, I'm going to say I agree. I think it's a shame that we're talking about not going back to Spa.
Yeah.
Which is one of the coolest tracks, totally unique, and we're here on this piece of tarmac in France.
Yeah, I'll stick up for a little bit just because I don't hate it as much as I think that the average F1 fan hates it. I think it's maybe because I'm still holding on to hope that I can like go back in time and COVID doesn't happen. I was supposed to go this race in 2020, and COVID fucked up that trip. We were supposed to go to France and Spain for like a month, and the end of it was going to be this trip, which I was super excited about because we had like a little Airbnb in Marseille, whatever.
Doesn't matter, you're American.
However you say it in French. It was like $60 a night, and then it was like a 3-hour bus ride. It wasn't very far away, but it's like 20 miles from there or whatever kilometer bullshit they use, but it's supposed to be like a 3-hour bus ride to get in there. Anyways, I'm holding out hope I can make it back at some point. But
I'm pretty sure hours are the same in France as they are.
That's how that works. Yeah. It's 3 hours or whatever they use.
Whatever metric bullshit. Who knows? But I actually think it's kind of I wish they'd paint it differently, because the technology is kind of cool about why it's painted differently.
Enlighten us.
Is it though? Is it really? Yeah.
So the idea behind it is every color, and I don't know whatever's closest to the track is like a certain level of roughness. And then the next color back from the track is another layer of roughness. So what it's supposed to do is negate the need for gravel traps. And it's supposed to provide enough grip so that if a car goes sliding off, it comes to a stop without going to the gravel so that cars can resume. And you don't end up in situations where a car just like slides off the track and then their race is over because they have slick tires and they can't get out of the gravel. That's the idea behind it. It looks horrible on TV.
It looks so dumb. You're going to hear that a bazillion times on the coverage. God fucking knows how many times you're going to hear it. It's annoying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's a decent technology, I guess, but it's really not that complicated. It's like, oh, we're going to make this have a higher coefficient of friction. Strips. Yeah. Well, it's fancy. It's fancy paint. That's all it is.
Well, what's going to be, I think, super interesting. This is one of those tracks where like, track limits are very much in air quotes, and they like, because there's almost no punishment for running off the track in certain corners. So it'll be interesting to see if this is another one of those weekends where it's nothing but black and white flags.
Horner already said this can be worse than last week.
Yeah.
So at the Red Bull Ring. So it's how many did they have last week? 40 something.
43.
Yeah. That should be our predictions, is how many warning.
Yeah, let's do a bonus thing for our predictions this week, and just whoever's closest
Well, no, we'll do Price is Right rules, obviously. Like, don't be a dick, but
$1, Bob.
Hey, that's fair. you can't do non-Price is Right rules. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
What are Price is Right rules?
Oh my fucking God.
I hesitated to say that.
Are you kidding me? You can't go over.
Oh, you can't go over. Where okay. Okay.
Who are you?
Oh, I don't know.
We should just fucking stop this podcast right fucking now.
Yeah, I haven't watched that show in so long, man. Oh,
dude. Next thing you're going to tell me, you don't watch Family Feud. Oh, my God.
I do watch that sometimes. Usually when the clips come on and when I'm bored and they're on Facebook and there's funny people saying things I shouldn't say.
That's the best part of Family Feud. Yeah,
those are pretty good. I can catch it on Facebook though. I don't need to sit down and spend a half hour watching it. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, back to France. Super power sensitive circuit because it's got those two like incredibly long straights. I think there are two DRS zones. Is that right? One on the front straight, one on the back straight.
That I'm not sure. Probably. It makes sense.
But it's interesting. I always find it interesting because it's one of those tracks where it's like, it seems like everybody runs high speed setups, but there's opportunity for people that don't have like the fastest straight line speed to make up a lot of time in the corners. Cause there's that really slow section coming off the front. And then there's kind of those long sweeping turn that is, I don't know what turn number it is, but it's before the hairpin onto the front straight. And it's, so if you have a lot of downforce, you can carry a lot more speed through there. So it's always one of those things where it's interesting to see how teams go setup wise, because you can kind of go two different ways. And then the pit strategies here is it's always, it seems like, and we'll see with the new tires, but it's always on the border between a one stopper, a two stopper. And that's what made the race so fun last year. Besides the fact there was actually pretty decent action in the race for the last generation of cars, but it was, if you remember, it was Max did a two stopper, Lewis did a one stopper, and kind of made it work in the last. It was in the last couple laps of the race, wasn't it? It was when he caught up and passed Lewis.
Yeah, because it was the opposite because Lewis did a two stopper on Max. I don't remember what track it was. I think was it the Red Bull Ring? I don't remember now. Earlier in the season last year, and then this year they flipped the script on him. Yeah. You know I'm talking about Risk? Remember? It was,
Spain and then France, maybe?
But Spain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So this is when Red Bull basically came out and said, yeah, fuck you too, buddy.
Hey, that was a good idea. Let's try it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, it'll kind of like see how it goes.
It's kind of like 2 years ago on the time trial in the Tour de France when Roglic did the whole stage on one bike, but Pogacar got off his bike and changed to the climbing bike.
Yeah, and he won the Tour.
Absolutely.
So, dude, he destroyed him on that last stage.
Yeah, interesting strategy always happening in France.
except
for the strategy to just let the Germans march right through in World War II.
Yeah, are we gonna talk about the Marchionneau?
What a segue. He goes from the Tour to World War II. Holy shit.
We're gonna go all the way back to the Marchionneau line. I don't think we need to go that far back.
That 2 miles of France's border was heavily defended. They did a good job.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was longer than 2 miles, but yeah.
Anyway,
there's not a whole lot else to say about the circuit. There was somebody on Twitter that said there was a pretty good chance of rain. I have not looked at it since.
Dude, it's been hot as hell in France.
I'm kind of tired of seeing rain anyway.
No, I don't think it'll rain. It's been the heat in France the past 2 weeks has been brutal.
How do you know that?
Because I've been watching the Tour. They're constantly taking water and the little pantyhose with the ice and putting down their goddamn shirts. You know what I'm talking about, Riz.
No, that was definitely clickbait because they're saying that it's going to be super dry this weekend.
It's going to be hot as shit. I can guarantee it.
Yeah. I mean, if you talk about like, I guess maybe hot for Europe, because that's a different type of a different level of tolerance for heat. I mean, it's saying the high on Saturday is 95 which is hot, Celsius? But it's Fahrenheit. And the high for the race on Sunday. Okay, that's going to be hot. It's going to be 97 on Sunday. I don't know what time the race is local time, but that's at 4 o'clock. It'll be. Oh, temp is 93. Feels like 97. That's still pretty warm.
It's hot.
Yeah, I guess Europe's gone through like a whole heat wave thing. It killed one of Tom Clarkson. The guy from Top Gear.
Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah. It killed one of his pigs. I don't know if you follow him on Twitter, but apparently one of his, cause he's got a farm now and it's amazing. If you ever want to binge watch something, go watch Clarkson's Farm on Amazon Prime. It's about a guy that has no idea what he's doing. And he buys a farm and then runs it during the beginning of COVID. And it's like, actually one of the most comical things I've ever watched in my life. So you should do it. But anyway, one of his pigs apparently died from the heat. I think his name was Fat Joe or something like that.
You heard it here first. Late breaks hot takes. Fat Joe dead.
sounds like good eating.
Yeah. Still sound like good eating. And I'm sure he did. But yeah, it's all hot. So I think this is going to favor a Red Bull, though, a little bit, just because of the high-speed straights. But I also saw a lot of people are saying that Ferrari's closed a lot of the gap on the straight line speed.
That's what they're coming out and saying, is that they've made some adjustments to where the top line speed is not that much of a difference anymore. So
interesting.
And even bigger, the last... I'm going to say at least 3, maybe 4 races, their tire deg has been, that being Bay, being Ferrari, has been fantastic. That was their big crutch or big problem in the beginning of the season compared to Red Bull. And it's kind of like flipped where, especially last race, but even the race prior, Red Bull had a lot more tire degradation than Ferrari. So I don't know. Well,
Ferrari started off running more higher downforce packages.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is
that I think that hurt, they switched, their, that they, hurt their tires. Yeah.
But I think they've continued with they still have a lot faster speed in the corners than Red Bull, but I think they've somehow figured something out. I don't know what it was to compete with the top line speed of Red Bull. So.
Well, that makes sense, because then if you have faster straight line speed, then you don't need to make up as much time in the corners, so you can pull some downforce off the car, which means to some degree, I guess, less tire deg.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I think downforce hurts tires.
I think it does, but only to a certain point, because at some point you need enough downforce to keep them from sliding, which then it like tears up the tires more. So there's like a sweet spot. But I guess they found that sweet spot. So
I'm not an engineer. It'll be good to
see. Yeah, I'm definitely not.
I am.
All right. Answer the question.
Chemical, it doesn't count.
Okay, go ahead. Chemical engineers are still fucking engineers, motherfuckers.
This is true. Oh, we hurt his feelings.
Me hurt my feelings. I said nothing but facts.
Anything else about the track that we want to discuss?
I'm excited to race week, but I'm ready for France to be over. That's all I have.
End of the summer break.
Is there the last race, or is there one more? I don't remember.
I think this is the last one.
I think so, because then we come back to like Hungary and the rest of the European calendar, right? After that?
Yeah, after the summer break, there's a couple.
Hungary, Belgium, Zandvoort, Monza, and then Asia.
Okay. Yeah.
So is Hungary after the summer break then?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why Haas was saying that they were going to wait to bring upgrades to Hungary, because it gave them extra weeks to do I don't know what with, but it'll be nice when we finally see some upgrades on that car. And we talked about Haas a lot last podcast, but. If they could bring upgrades that work, it'll be cool. Because they'll be battling for the best of the rest if they have upgrades that improve the car, right? I mean, because they're already pretty close to doing that. That'd be sweet.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You never know with Haas. I feel like it's always a roll of the fucking dice with those guys. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I've stopped holding out hope and just like hoping it's going to happen, but not really thinking it's going to happen. It's kind of like one of those abused fan syndromes.
They keep like trying Knicks to downplay fans. It too.
And NC State fans. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Why do I do this to myself? Who knows? Who knows? But yeah, so do we want to talk about predictions now?
Wait till the end. Do it now.
Wait till the end.
We can do it now and then just start talking.
Let's keep the people waiting.
let's keep the people waiting. AKA,
talk some more gibberish.
AKA Rick doesn't
have to listen to the end.
He doesn't have the file pulled up.
I actually do.
Oh, okay.
What's the rankings again? I forgot.
You know, the craziest thing happened.
Let's hear this shit.
All of the numbers.
Oh, did you know?
Yeah, it was.
It's all right. We're going to have to do an audit of this thing over the summer break. Anyway, because that was a hell of a comeback. I don't know if
the books are closed after the season.
That's the most FIA shit ever. And benefiting the Ferrari fan too. While we're at it,
what the fuck, I got nothing to say. Nothing I did that shit say. Fair and square. The only thing that was it was fair, but the only thing that's a little off the books is when we had our bet me and risk.
Yeah, that was fair though. We all agreed to it. Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with that. You guys should
learn nothing.
Ideal.
Let's go all in.
I go triple or nothing. I don't give a fuck. I was last place. I'm first, dude. I got points to spare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're talking to a degenerate gambler here.
Degenerate's a strong word.
Is generous gambler? Is that a better word?
Speaking of which, I learned a new game that I have to tell you guys
about. Yeah, you texted us about it and you didn't say what it was.
And then my phone died. But yeah, so I'll explain it after the show.
Okay.
Okay.
It gets out of hand. Quickly.
I'm in. Let's do it.
I'm always in. I'm always in for that. Other news from F1, Colton Herta did a test for McLaren in Portugal. I guess it went well. He seemed pretty excited by it and came back and took pole position in IndyCar over the weekend and then came in second place in the race. But
nice.
He had a good race. He's still really far back in the championship, though. So I don't think I'd be surprised if he's going to have the super points to be eligible to race in F1 next year. I don't really think that's McLaren's intention anyway.
I heard a rumor that the super points are not like a hard and fast rule.
They are, but you can get like a, what do you call it?
You can get in like an exemption.
Exception, yeah.
Yeah, and apparently...
So yes and no.
Yeah. Apparently, when you race without a super license in F1, your taillights are blink green instead of red.
Whoa.
Which would be pretty dope.
So that everybody knows on the track that you're not
danger for this guy.
You're in danger. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if that's still a thing, but I saw that in like an obscure rule somewhere. It was like if somebody in F1 was racing without a super license. Yeah. I don't think it's a hard and fast rule, but I think it's pretty close. And you have to like demonstrate championship performance, and he doesn't have that in IndyCar yet. So, I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, I don't think that's the intent, right? Like, yeah.
Here's the thing, right? Like, Danny Ric's got an F1 contract next year that he has the option of leaving, not the team. It's a player option, so to speak, or a driver option. Yep. So he already came out saying he's coming back. So there's nothing McLaren can do. So I don't understand all the bullshit that's going
on. There's not nothing McLaren can do.
Yes, there is. Well, all they can do is say, we're going to pay you to stay home. That's it. Even then, he could fight him. They're not going to do that. They're not that stupid.
Why?
Why would they? Like, how does that benefit them?
Cheaper. So if you actually, and
it's
here's
not cheaper. They're still paying him.
Yeah, it's but they're not going to pay him his full salary.
They have to.
No.
Absolutely. It's a contract.
Yeah, but we don't know the details of the contract. We just know that there's always levers on both sides. One probably involves Danny getting a big...
Not even staying home. They could just say, we'll pay you 50% of your salary and you're free to go drive anywhere else you want.
He'll say no.
Why? Why would he say that?
Why would he say yes?
If he can get 50% McLaren and...
Because if he says no, he doesn't have a seat. He gets to find a seat. Right now, he has a seat.
Yeah, I mean, he's not guaranteed that seat. They could put him into a reserve driver role and put somebody else in there. He's not guaranteed to be in the race seat for the weekend.
He has an F1 contract, so that's technically true, but they're not going to do that.
Right. I thought it was interesting. If we're going to go down the conspiracy rabbit hole, two things happened back to back that like Twitter blew up about, and I think it's reading between the lines. They're trying to read between the lines too much. But Danny, so Alex Palou signed to McLaren, right?
Allegedly.
So the rumor is that his contract is with the McLaren organization and not a race team, which is how he was able to do it get around his clause in his IndyCar contract, is because his car isn't actually his new one supposedly is not with Aero McLaren SP, which is their IndyCar team. It's with the company of McLaren to be one of their professional drivers. So he came out and said, I'm excited to join the McLaren family. And then shortly after, Danny Ric's statement didn't say he was driving for McLaren F1. He said he will remain a McLaren driver. So there's all these rumors going around about McLaren playing kind of like musical chairs with their drivers and because they signed Alexander Rossi too. So somebody's going to go to, no matter what, somebody's going to go to Formula E. I don't know if they have two cars in Formula E or not, or if it's just one. I think. So somebody's going to go to Formula E. They just added Alex Palou to the roster. They're kind of filled up on drivers now.
So here's the thing, right? And this kind of gets to what I was saying before. McLaren now is doing it to where everyone who signs a contract is under the McLaren family, so to speak.
Right. Yep.
Danny Ric is not the McLaren family, his contract. It is the Formula One McLaren team. So it makes a big difference. So they just move him.
Absolutely. Is that confirmed?
Yes.
Who confirmed that? I haven't seen that.
Danny Ric did. I think him and Zach Brown both said that.
Hmm.
So because think about it, they didn't have all these teams when Danny Ric signed his contract, so they couldn't do that.
True. Yeah, that's a good point.
It was the McLaren Formula One team, so it makes a big difference. We're like, well, we'll move him to Indy. It's like, no, they can't do that because that's not how his contract is laid out.
Yeah.
Danny Ric saying, yeah, I want to move here, so to speak, and he's not going to do that. He already came out and saying, I'm not going to do that, so...
Yeah,
I don't know.
There's no contract that can't be settled. All I know.
You're 100% right if both parties want to settle it. But if one party's saying, no, go fuck yourself, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, but if I don't see Danny Ric as being that guy that's going to stay at a team that doesn't want him. If McLaren approached him and said, hey, we are willing to buy you out of your F1 contract and give you a new contract that's under the McLaren umbrella and move you to IndyCar or something like that, or Formula E or whatever it is, I think he would go for it.
I don't. I think he will say, and I quote, I'm not going to do that. What I will do for you is I'll go look for another F1 seat. And if I find one, I'm willing to negotiate a buyout clause. But if I don't find one, I'm keeping my seat.
Yeah, maybe.
I just don't think he, first off, I don't think he wants to leave Formula One. So I don't think
he wants to leave Formula One either. But
so why would you go to Indy? Because once you lose your seat, you're done. I mean, everyone knows that.
Yeah,
you're not coming back. I mean, Alex Albon is a fucking anomaly. That's how you say that word.
David Magnussen.
Yeah, but Haas is weird. We all know that. Haas just has like a hard off.
Daniel Kvyat.
He's not coming back.
Fernando Alonso.
Okay, he's a two-time champion. Whatever. Stop proving me wrong. I'm just speaking off the cuff.
Kimi Raikkonen.
Well, Kimi went to NASCAR, okay? Once again, another Formula One champion.
Just saying. Daniel
Ricciardo is an 8-time Grand Prix winner.
He is.
Whatever it is now.
Nico Hülkenberg is like a cockroach and just won't go away.
Danny Ric beat a 4-time F1 champion in the same machinery, so he's not too shabby.
I think if Danny Ric would have stayed at Red Bull, he'd be a world champion by now. I think that was the worst thing he's ever done.
I don't. I think Max is still better than him. I think it would have been. I don't think Max would be an F1 champion though, because some two would have been fighting the whole time.
Yeah, maybe. It's a possibility, but I'll see. We'll see what happens. But I think McLaren's got a driver problem. They've got too many. I don't think everyone's making a big deal about Colton Herta. I don't think Colton Herta is going to go to join McLaren, be it F1 or whatever. I'm pretty sure that was just Zach Brown doing a solid for his buddy, Marco Andretti, or Mario, whichever one. He's just too many Andretti's. He's friends with one of them. They co-own an endurance racing team, I guess, together. Andretti United, but so I think it was him doing a solid, and it was a paid test too. So it wasn't like they just were like, "Hey, you're a prospect for us, come test." But we'll see what happens.
It's interesting though, because supposedly that pissed off like Pato O'Ward a lot.
Yeah.
So you kind of burned that.
Can I tell you guys something? I don't like Pato O'Ward.
Why?
I think he's annoying.
Why?
I watched some marketing videos that McLaren put out, and he annoyed me. And also, he had to use a pad when he did his McLaren F1 test, and Lando Norris made fun of him for it, and that made me laugh.
That's weird, because Lando Norris annoys me.
I like Pato. I think he's cool. I don't know. I think I like Colton Herta more. If I had to see one of those, I don't think Pato would do that well in Formula 1.
I honestly don't think either of them would do that well at Formula 1.
I think Colton Herta would be pretty good.
I think he'd be, if he was lucky, he'd be in the midfield.
I think he'd be pretty crashy. Because he is crashy in IndyCar already. But basically what IndyCar says about him is he is able to almost always find like the fine edge of the car and like make the car like the fastest it can be and the setup and all that kind of stuff, which is good. But then he also sometimes crosses that line because he's trying. He'll like a 15, like Nashville last year, he had like a 10 second lead and then just put it on the wall. Nobody was getting 10 seconds in IndyCar. It may as well be a lap, in Formula One. Like that's such a difficult thing to come back from. But if you look, if you watch Pato drive, because IndyCar doesn't have power steering, like the dude's hands, like he brute forces that car around the track. Like it's cool to watch because his hands are like lightning quick, but he's all over the place. And I think in F1, you've got to have a lot of finesse, and I guess we'll see. Apparently his F1 test went well. But
he had to use a neck pad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think both of them are grasping for straw.
Yeah, but like, are they future world champions? Probably not. I mean, I could see Colton Herta if he got in the right seat at the right time and that kind of thing. But like, they're better than Nicholas Latifi, Lance Stroll. They're better than a third of the grid. Yuki Tsunoda.
I don't disagree. But I don't know. I feel like they've gotten, maybe this is just me being cynical. I don't know if you guys know this or not, that I'm a little cynical, but they just got hyped up a lot. And I just don't really see it.
Yeah. I get the hype around Colton Herta though, because he's probably the best American driver with a solid chance at working his way into F1.
Logan Sargeant, dude. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he's got a solid chance if he keeps winning.
Yeah, but his problem is he's going to go into F1 through Williams, and Williams isn't going to have that relationship with Mercedes, and Logan Sargeant isn't a golden boy of Toto, and he's American, not British. Like, he's got a lot working against him coming in through Williams.
I see. I disagree. I think once he's in Williams, it's like once he's at the senior team, the whole driver academy bullshit goes away.
Then I don't think he'll make it to the senior team.
I think he will.
I think
not this next year. So what about 2023, 2024? I think he'll have a seat.
You think?
Yeah.
So I think they don't want him to win. Him and Oscar Piastri?
I don't know. I think it depends on who they bring up. So I think they'll have a seat regardless. Either Albon will go somewhere else and or be cut, or Piastri will go to Alpine. So one of the two somehow, and they'll bring him up because like I said, I think I texted you guys. Williams is like in love with him. They tweet about him more than they tweet about Latifi. And I think they really want to have like their own, which, whatever. But they want to have like their guy come up, you know, a Williams Academy driver.
Yeah.
And he's American, which is, I mean, let's be honest, that's big publicity. That's huge.
Yeah.
So I think it makes
American, I don't see an American driver having a lot of value to Williams. Like, I don't see
it. Value to anyone.
Yeah, but I don't see the American fan base.
He's got an American flag on his helmet.
Don't get me wrong. I like the kid.
And anyone sees him, everyone's going to go fucking apeshit for it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I like the kid, and I want to see him in F1, but I don't see Williams as a team that cares about the American market. Like, I see McLaren caring about that. I wish I'd see Haas caring about that more. But I don't know. I just don't see, if there's other options out there that come with money or sponsors or something, I see Williams going towards that than Logan Sargeant.
But that's the thing. Being American in and of itself comes with sponsors. I mean,
maybe.
Right, wrong, or indifferent, it does. So I don't know. I think, like I said, 2024, you heard it first, he'll be on the team. He'll have a seat. I don't think he'll be with Williams forever. If he's a good driver, I think someone else will snatch him up. But that's, I don't know how long he'll be in F1, but I think he'll get a shot.
Yeah. Makes sense.
He's doing too well not to. I mean, he had a good F3 career. He's doing really good in F2 right now. He's on a tear. They seem to love him for whatever reason. I mean, I just don't see why not.
Yeah.
They're at the bottom of the grid. They have nothing to lose. Like, why wouldn't they bring in their guy?
True. I guess we'll see. We'll see. I'd love to. Perfect storm. Andretti comes in 2024 with Herta and Logan Sargeant, all American driver lineup.
That'd be dope.
It'd be dope.
That'd be so cool.
Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure they'd be driving French engines, but I'll stomach that because that's actually a pretty good engine right now. So I'll take it. I'll take it. The only other real news leading up to the race, I guess, is again about testing, and it's Nyck de Vries is testing for Mercedes. Did a Williams test earlier this year. He's taking Lewis Hamilton's spot. I don't think it means anything. I don't think he's really got a. I don't think he's got a future in Formula One. I'd be shocked if he did, and I don't know why Mercedes is. I guess he's their test and reserve driver, but.
I texted you guys about this today. I just don't understand the hype with him, like, at all. It took him 3 years in F2 to do anything.
Is there hype, though?
I feel like, well, maybe it's just because of, like, Mercedes, but I feel like there's a little bit of hype. A lot of people, like, he should have a seat because he won F2. Like, yeah, after his third fucking year. And even that year, he barely won. Like...
Yeah, I mean, I guess he won F2. He won Formula E, which...
You know who he beat in F2?
No.
Who do you think came in P2 in the championship when he won F2?
So that would have been... 2019?
Who do you think?
P2 would have been Jordan... No, George Russell.
Nope.
No, he was in F1 then. Who was right after that? It wasn't Mick?
Nope.
Joe?
Nope.
Joe was in for a while.
Think the best driver of all time of our generation. Some would call it the GOAT.
Nicholas Latifi.
Nicholas Latifi.
Really?
He beat Nicholas Latifi.
Nicholas Latifi came P2 and F2?
Yeah, he did.
Huh. All right.
That's who Nyck de Vries.
Where do you think the legend started?
To win F2. This big bad Mercedes driver. I just don't get it, man. I really don't.
Interesting. But. Well, I when I first heard about him, I guess this was in when he was like at the tail end of that Formula E year that he won the championship. I saw him and I was like, oh, okay, Mercedes has got like this young up and coming guy. And then I heard he was having some interest from the F1 team. He's like, all right, they've got a young dude. And then I looked it up and I'm like, that dude just looks like he's 12. He's actually 27. Like he's not like an up and coming. I don't know. We'll see. But I don't think anything real is going to happen with him.
Even the Formula E thing, like I don't get that either, because if you look at, he didn't race anybody good. Like, everyone was trash.
Well, that Stoffel Vander whatever is a good driver.
He wasn't there that year. He won.
Oh, really?
And this year, he's the same. They're teammates this year, and he's winning the championship. And I think
DeVries
in like eighth or ninth. Like, he's not doing well at all.
Yeah,
he's getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Yeah, I agree though. I don't see the hype if there is any. It's probably a slow F1 news week. I guess we always have to do it, so we'll do it in this podcast. Talk shit about the Strolls. And it'll be quick. Big Daddy Stroll is in bed with the Sovereign Wealth Fund. They've invested in Aston Martin. I don't know if it's the Formula One team or the car manufacturing company. I would imagine it's like shit. It might be both. But that's always interesting.
I had not heard that.
What, that's Saudi?
Saudi, yeah. Yeah,
Saudi government owns McLaren.
I don't think so. Do they?
God, I hope so.
Yes, a major investor in the McLaren group.
Yeah. That shouldn't surprise anybody.
Man, makes me feel so much better about my hatred towards McLaren.
Yeah.
Oh well, that's
they've got unlimited money because they pump it out of the earth. So.
That's not fair. It's just really hatred towards one of the driver of McLaren.
Yeah, right. So that's interesting, though. That I mean, I wonder if there's going to be more a push for more kind of Middle Eastern races going forward. I mean,
we already have too many.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Why do you say that? Because I'm sure that the audience size in the Middle East in general as a whole does not warrant what. So Saudi,
there's three, Qatar, and Abu Dhabi right now,
and Abu Dhabi
and Bahrain. So is there Bahrain. Four right now?
Yeah,
that's a lot,
which is more than anybody's willing to give to the US, which I'm sure has more Formula One fans than the entire Middle East combined.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Well, anyway, that was a little piece of news. But that's really all I got. I guess it wouldn't be a podcast. It wouldn't touch on Mercedes. I think this can be a good track for Mercedes. I don't think they're going to catch the front. I think they've got a good shot at best of the rest. Being in that gap somewhere.
Yes or no, does George Russell go on a three-game hit streak?
Yes.
Interesting.
No.
All right, we'll see.
Lewis takes the crown. He takes it back.
Ooh, wow. Interesting.
And when we say hit streak, you mean knocking a driver off the track.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
It's like a kill streak.
Yeah, but it's a kill streak. Right. Except you don't get a guided. What do you get at three in Call of Duty? I don't think you get anything anymore.
Like a UAV or something.
Seven used to be a helicopter. Have you ever heard that song? It's fucking hilarious.
Yep. All right, let's do predictions. And because we've got a new winner.
Hang on.
Let's do a recap of the points.
Yeah,
let's see where we stand.
I'd love to hear it.
I need to log back in. All right. So
just call me Jonas Vingegaard, dude. I'm just fucking killing it right now.
Did you just spoil today's stage? I told you I hadn't watched it.
I know. It has nothing to do with today's stage. All right. It has to do with I was losing, and then I destroyed, and now I'm winning.
All right. So, yes. Zeno, first place, 160. Oof. Cole, second place, 148. And I'm in last place with 136. But all you need is a crash, a mechanical, we'll be right back in this thing.
Yeah, it's still closer than the actual championship.
All you need is some lady with a plastic grocery bag on the top of Vontu, and I'll be right back in this thing.
All right, so let's add on. What do we say we're adding on this week? It was safety cars, or not safety cars, black and white flags.
Yeah, black and white.
Can flag. That just be like a? I don't. I gotta change the whole spreadsheet.
Can we make it simple and just do 5 bonus points for whoever's closest? But with can't go over.
Well, yeah, obviously can't go over.
Is that gonna mess up the spreadsheet?
I mean,
no, it's gonna mess up my spreadsheet.
I'll find a way to do it. All right, let's go. Zeno.
Leclerc, Max, Checo.
Leclerc, Max, Checo.
Hey, what's the next one?
You want to hear something funny that I just realized?
Huh?
Is that the Red Bull drivers only have one number? One.
You are correct. I mean, some would call 11 a different number, but
no, it's all one.
It's just a repeat of one.
One and one, one.
Yeah, one and one.
Interesting, huh? All right, DNFs.
All right, so best of the rest, I'm going to go with McLaren.
Ooh. No, I need DNFs first.
No, I said best of the rest.
Okay, now we need
DNFs. I'll go with 4.
All right, now best of the rest.
McLaren.
Okay.
Are we doing black and white flag then? Are we doing, all right, so is it black and white flag or is it warnings? Because warning, well, you get.
I think it's going to have to be black and white flags.
That's going to be a low number, though.
No. Isn't a black and white. You get 3. You don't get.
You get 3, and then it's a black and white flag.
Oh, you're.
Yeah, right. We need like deleted lap times for track limits violations.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
It was a black and white flag was the warning, and then there's a rule is
it is a warning
violation,
but you're
shown the black and white flag, and then, next
after violation. That then you get a 5-second penalty. Yeah,
okay, so do we want to do
I can hear him typing,
nothing's coming up. Do we want to do do we want to do penalties or warnings?
I think maybe warnings, warnings would be more fun.
I don't want to do either of them, but whatever.
Go ahead. There was 43 warnings for the Red Bull Ring, right?
Yep.
And you can't go over. And I'm going first, so I'm fucked. All right. I got to basically hit it on the balls or else I'm screwed. So I'm going to go with 58.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Cole.
I had extra time, but I don't like it because it makes me overthink things. I am also going to go with the Leclerc Sainz Max.
Oh, there's no gravel, so actually it's a good pick.
I think Ferrari's going to be too fast this weekend.
Yes, but will their engine explode?
That's a good point. It's a good point.
Leclerc's on like his second race with that engine, so it's very possible it's going to blow up.
You're not wrong.
I don't want to jinx Checo because I like Checo and I keep putting him on my podium and it's not working. So I'm going to be totally content if I don't nail this one. I'll go with. I think we're going to see low DNFs this week, so I'll go with 2. This I think would be the lowest of the season. Best the rest. I'm going to go with Alpine. No, okay. Fuck. Welcome. Yeah, I'll go with Alpine.
I'm going to go ASMR podcast.
Yeah, all right. I'll go with Alpine. I wanted to say Haas, but I think Alpine's going to get that home horsepower.
Ooh, I forgot about the home race horsepower.
God damn it!
Or Gasly.
Nah, AlphaTauri's
Pedro. You're on Pedro.
What? No, I'm saying the AlphaTauri's got a garbage car.
So no. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Warnings. How many did you say? 56? 58?
Yeah.
I guess first,
I had to go high because no one wants to go 59, obviously. And someone's going to say one. Risk going to say one because he's smart. So I had to risk it.
You can't go over? Can't
go over. So that's my risk, is that I'm going to go over, but I'm going to take it.
Oh, there's a strategy here, and it sucks being in the middle.
It sucks being first, too. Being
I'm going to go with 43.
Oh, you gave it to him.
No takesy backsies in the
you
spreadsheet.
You said like 20-something, dude.
All right. All right. For the 12th time this year, Max is going to win. Charles is going to come in second. And Esteban Ocon is going to come in.
Ooh.
It's the home race horsepower, baby.
Is it going to be Red Bull reliability issues? Or?
Oh, Max is going to win.
Oh, you already said Max is going to win. That's right.
Yeah,
he had the two best drivers, Max and Charles, up there. So.
Okay.
I think there's going to be only one DNF. By nature of my picks, I have to go Alpine, best of the rest. And I think there's only going to be one track limits violation.
You motherfucker. God damn it, Cole. You had to make it hard on him.
I don't know Family Feud rules like this. I don't know this.
That's your first problem.
Price is right. God damn it.
Whatever it says.
Top 100 answers on the board. All right. Picks are locked.
Well, unless you guys have anything else, I think that's it for this week. You know what I just realized?
What?
We were supposed to come prepared with our hot take, our two hottest takes, one about the country and one about F1.
Ah, fuck.
Oh, wait. Cole, hit pause. Let's think. Let's brainstorm and we'll come back. And we're back.
All right. We came prepared. We just had to dig up our notes. All right, let's go around the table. So I think we should start with our French hot takes. And then we'll do our F1 hot takes.
All right, what you got?
Oh, the pressure.
You go first?
The pressure's on. Yeah, let's go. You go first.
France is single-handedly responsible for the rise of Adolf Hitler.
Well, you beat my hot take.
Man, you know, mine might be more aggressive though when it comes to the hierarchy of cuisines worldwide. It goes Italian, Mexican, and then French. French is not the elite.
That's not a
food.
Hot take. That's a
you
fact.
Still have that in the top three.
Yeah, maybe not.
I'd rather eat a Chinese dog than French food.
Man, we're gonna have a fucking protest outside of our fucking.
Oh, fuck, dude.
I was gonna say outside of our studio, but that's not really a thing. So
yeah.
Sam.
Oh fuck, dude! But now mine's like fucking tame. Like I just think French wine sucks dick. But
there you go. Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, we're coming hard. All right, F1 hot takes.
Yeah, is it about the race in France or
nah? It could just be about F1.
All the above.
So I'll start on this one since Risk, you boldly went first on the last one. Mine is that Albon is not really that good. Latifi just really, really, really sucks. And
how dare you say that about Gotifi?
Yeah, that's fine.
I thought I'd be about French people. That was a French F1 thing.
Oh, is it? Okay, I can switch mine. Esteban Ocon needs to stop posting pictures of his outfits on Instagram because he looks like a 13-year-old female.
Again, not really a hot take.
I agree.
More like generally facts.
Struggling with this one. All right, Zeno, you go first. Or you go second.
Alpine will never win a world championship ever again. Ever again. Forever.
Does it count if they switch their brand back to Renault?
No. The French F1 team, formerly known as Renault, currently known as Alpine, will never win.
Okay.
French people are stupid.
Maybe going a little too far in that, but...
No, I honestly think they'll never will, just because that they my honest answer is because that they're a public, like an actual Renault, they don't put enough money into it. So yeah. It's like they have a lot of money, but they won't put money into it, but they want to be a Mercedes or they want to be a Ferrari, and they're just not there because they won't invest. And I don't think that they're ever going to get there personally, unless maybe I'm wrong. Maybe in 20 years, some leadership comes or some smart motherfucker comes, but I just don't think. Maybe I won't say ever. I'll say in the next 20 years, but I still think that's a relatively hot take. They have a pretty good engine. They have Fernando, who's amazing. I mean, some say he's magic, but you know what that means. You know what that means.
Risk?
I guess mine's similar, but I'll say that Cyril Abutable, whatever his name is, ruined Daniel Ricciardo's career by lying to him about the progress they were making on the engine.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
It's not really a hot take, I guess. More fact.
More fact. All right. Those were our hot takes.
Talk shit. I stand by my World War II take.
Hey, can you explain that?
This isn't a history podcast.
Yeah, well, we can stop now. I don't care, but after the fact, I want to hear your reasoning behind it.
Okay, everybody.
Thanks, see you, bye.
All right, thanks, see you, bye.